Good morning. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. It is a good morning because we're able to be here. It's a good morning because it's the Lord's day, but every day is the Lord's day. So every day ought to be a good morning, shouldn't it? But I have to confess that when I wake up on Sunday mornings, and this happens pretty much every Sunday morning, I wake up around 5 o'clock, and I have this fear. I have this fear that I'm going to preach today. I do, and I don't feel ready. No matter how much I study, it doesn't matter how much I study, and I'm just not ready to preach such a gospel. But the Lord seems to enable me to whenever I finally get here. And, you know, I usually get over here around 7:30 in the morning and start going over everything again and again and again and again. And then I stand here and I still don't feel ready. But I do know this. Our God is our sufficiency. Our God is our sufficiency. And so if he's called me to preach, he'll enable me to do it. Even though sometimes I feel like I didn't do it, or I feel like I was pulling a wagon with square wheels on it, that somebody still usually gets something out of it. They still usually get it. I was thinking Thursday night, I felt like I just couldn't get a hold of it. But yet someone called me and said, oh, that was such a blessing. Then they started telling me things that they got out of it. And I thought, well, maybe it wasn't as bad as I felt. So the Lord is the one who takes the message from here and applies it there. He's the one that does it, not me. So let's, in Galatians chapter 1, I want to pick back up on verse 6. Now the title of the message is a severe title. I started to title this, and when I put one on the internet, and I thought, it might be a little severe. But then I thought more about it, and I thought, no, it's not. Not really. And the title of this lesson is this: let that man who preaches another gospel go to hell. Now, that sounds severe, doesn't it? That's pretty severe. It seems like a very severe statement to make. But when we really consider all that is at stake, It's not an overstatement. My soul's at stake. Your soul's at stake. God's glory, who he is at stake. So when Paul says there in verse 6, 7, 8, and 9, he said, if any man preach another gospel, let him be accursed. That is, he's talking about let him go to hell, let him perish under the wrath of God. So I know I touched on this last week, but I wanted to look at it a little bit more before we push on. Now, Paul says in verse 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. Called to the grace of Christ unto another gospel. It's a marvel. And Paul stood astonished. It's like he's saying, I didn't anymore get out the door, and you changed. What happened? Of course, he deals with this in a little bit. It's a marvel to see someone leave grace, unmerited favor, grace, and return to work salvation, return to bondage. You know, one of the things we see in Genesis, in Exodus, is Israel continually wanted to return to Egypt. Every time trouble came along, wish we'd have stayed in Egypt. Well, how many times do they say that? Wish we'd have stayed in bondage. To leave free grace and go to a work salvation? Paul says, I marvel at that. I marvel at that. Now, I want to show you the problem here that the Galatians had faced and Paul's dealing with. Now, I want you to turn to Acts 15. You'll remember this when I read it because it's something we looked at several weeks ago, if not a few months ago. In Acts 15, now here's the problem. Paul says in Acts 15, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren." You see, they came down with some credentials, come down from Judea, and they came down as a party that was sent down, that they claimed to be sent down. And here's what they said: "Except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved." You can't be saved. "So when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question." Now look in verse 5. "But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed." Okay, they say they believed the gospel. They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's the Messiah. You're right, Paul. "They believed, saying that it was, but these who believed, these Pharisees who believed, they said this, that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses." You can believe the gospel, but you got to keep the Ten Commandments. It's in our day. You know, people say that the Ten Commandments is a rule of life. It's not my rule of life. The Spirit of God, the grace of God, the Lord Jesus Christ is my rule of life. He is my rule of life is a person. It's not letters written on stone. It's a person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And then look over in verse 24 and 25, or 23, I mean. "And they wrote letters by them after this manner." This council sent out these letters. "The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, Cilicia, for as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us," they claim to be from us, they claim to be apostles. That's what the Galatians faced. They came claiming to be apostles. "They have troubled you with words." Who, as it said, "sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." Words hurt more and are more destructive than sticks and stones. They're far more destructive. "Subverting your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment." Now, this is what Paul's dealing with the Galatian churches. The churches there in Galatia. So this is what he's dealing with. But now, I ask this question. Why would anyone leave free grace? Free grace, free salvation. "Oh, everyone that thirsteth, he that hath no money, come." Why would you leave that? Why would you leave that? For a work salvation. Well, here's a few things I thought of. First of all, self-glory. The gospel of God's grace and God's glory gives him all the glory. It doesn't give us any. It gives him. "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ." By nature, we love self-glory. That's why athletes can't retire until you got to be kicked out. They like that self-glory now. That's why they can't let go. And this is why that they turn from free grace to salvation by works, is it gives us the glory. We can glory in it a little bit. And then here's another reason. No real saving faith. No real saving faith at all. Just like these Pharisees that it says they believed, but they said, "But now, wait a minute, we believe the gospel that Paul's preaching, but..." Well, you just messed it up. You just messed up. And then here's another reason. I think there are some who are very immature in the faith. They haven't grown up. They haven't grown up. You know, a babe can be misled. A babe or a child, a young child, You know, I can tell a young child, I can tell my sons, I can tell them when they were just baby, when they were just young, I can tell them to do something and they would do it. But you know, another adult can come in and tell them to do something that they probably shouldn't have done, and they'd do it at a certain age. They would, young. You know why? Because they believe that the adults are right. They believe they know everything. So there are those who are immature in the faith. I always think of this story of this little girl who went to bed one night, and the mother, after a few hours, the mother heard a thud. She heard a thud, and she went in and there her little girl laying on the floor. And she said, "What happened?" She said, "I guess I stayed too close to where I got in." We are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. And if there's one thing, this is one thing that's weighed on my mind now for a good while. For a good while. Your growth in grace and in knowledge of Christ has a lot to do with me standing here and preaching. It has. I have a lot to do with that. I do. You know, I asked the Lord. I did. I asked the Lord. Speak to my heart that I might speak to their heart. Give me something to say to them this morning. Enable me to rightly divide the word of truth. Enable me to set forth your glory before the people. Because what I do here on Sunday morning and Thursday evening has a lot to do with your growth in grace and in knowledge of Christ. It has a lot to do with it. And I recognize that. But these are reasons why that some leave free grace. Self-glory, no saving faith, and too immature in faith, not growing up. Now Paul says that he marveled, he marveled at this, that you're so soon removed. So soon removed from him. Here's the seriousness of the matter that Paul's dealing with. You're removed from him. You're removed from the gospel, removed from grace. You said, "No, well, we didn't quit believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. We did not quit believing in Christ and him crucified. We just added." That's removed. That's called removed. It's so serious. I'll show you how serious it is over in chapter 5. Look over in chapter 5. Paul says this to them, and this shows how serious this is. In verse 1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Don't go back under bondage. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. If you be circumcised for the purpose of salvation, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised for this reason, to keep the law, that he's a debtor to do the whole law. Christ," now listen, here's how serious it is. "Christ has become of no effect to you." No effect. "Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace." You've fallen away from the grace of God. Justification by grace through faith in Christ, you've fallen away from it. And that's the only justification there is. There is no other justification. There is no other way to be justified. No other way. That's how serious this is. This is not just a chink in the road. This is being removed. And Satan is behind it. He's behind it. Satan, if it were possible, would remove this whole congregation away from grace. He would if he could. And then we see here also in this how weak we are. How weak we are. You know, Abraham is spoken of as the father of the faithful. You know, his faith is spoken of as, you know, Abraham, who believed God. Abraham believed God. It's what it says. He believed God. But then we see Abraham give up his wife twice and go into Hagar. You'd think someone like Abraham wouldn't stumble. But he does. Look over in Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, mature, that's what he's talking about, you which are mature in the faith, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Considering this, all that you need to get in trouble is temptation. That's it. Lest you also be tempted. I tell you what, if God Almighty does not remove the temptation or not allow it to come, you and I would fall when it comes. He says, considering this, you're just like him who fell. And you restore him in the spirit of meekness. Because you could be right there instead of him. And then I see this in this. It's how easily impressed we are. Someone walks in, well spoken. You know, this is the power of words. You know, someone who comes in well spoken, you'll listen, you'll be drawn in. You'll be drawn into their rhetoric. You'll be drawn into their ability to speak and their words. And next thing you know, you're deceived. We're so easily impressed. I get impressed when my dog does things I want him to do. I see how easily impressed I am. I said, you see what he did? Took me all day to train him, but he's doing it. And I'm impressed. We're just so easily impressed. And then we're easily deceived. The scripture, you know what the scripture says? Look over Matthew 24. Matthew 24, look over here. And I know this, I know that we, and I hope we are. We're well grounded in the gospel. We think this wouldn't happen, but I'm telling you. Let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he, what? Fall. Lest he fall. What would I say? Matthew 24, look in verse 24. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, that if possible, they shall deceive the very elect of God. And the only reason it's not possible is God. He's not going to let it happen. He's not going to let his children fall away into apostasy or follow another gospel. My sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they'll not follow. But that's why the scripture tells us to watch and pray. Watch and pray. You know, mom and dad, you know, they got old. They got into their 90s, and they didn't go nowhere. They stayed home all the time. And he'd watch men on television, and he'd tell me from time to time, he said, he really says some good things. And I would say, well, Dad, that doesn't matter. A lot of people say good things. But I could tell the judgment was not there that he used to have. The judgment was not there. And I know this. I know if I live long enough. I was thinking of this Saturday morning when I woke up and I was thinking of this. If I live long enough, I'll outlive my education. I'll outlive my health. I'll outlive my mind. I'll outlive it. And this is why we are told to watch and pray always. Always. And this is why we attend the gospel, sit under a gospel ministry week after week after week. Even when we get older, if at all possible, unless you're incapacitated, be here. That helps ward off a lot of trouble. But I want you to notice here, Paul is actually handling them as a church rather gently. He's laying the blame on those false apostles. See, he's laying the blame on them. He said, there's some who've come who've troubled you. And they've called you to stumble. They've caused you to be moved away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll see this in verses 7 and 9. This other supposed gospel is not the gospel. You know what he said? It's not good news. It's not good news. If I have to do anything at all, it's not good news. Because I can't do it. I can't do it, and you can't do it either. It's not good news, and it's not of God. Any so-called gospel that leaves you any part of salvation to finish is not of God, and it's not good news. It's not good news. Law and grace do not mix in any way, shape, or form. Never has, never will. And any gospel that reaches to the law for completion is not the gospel. And listen, any so-called gospel that has you beginning in the spirit and perfecting your salvation in the flesh is not the gospel. We'll see that in chapter 3 when we get to it. That's why Paul calls him, "Oh, foolish Galatians. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh?" But I do know this. There will always be someone who will pervert the gospel of Christ. Always. There's always going to be somebody that's going to do that. And here's why. Satan always has his ministers. Look over in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In 2 Corinthians 11, look in verse 13. For such are false apostles. They're not just preachers. These are men who call themselves apostles, but they're not. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. See, the Lord didn't call them. The Lord didn't transform them. They did it. And no marvel. No more, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. But they come as ministers of righteousness, but it's not the Lord's righteousness, it's self-righteousness. It's self-righteousness. That's very deceitful. It's very deceitful. You know, when the Lord said to Peter, Satan hath desired thee to sift thee as wheat. Peter didn't know that. When the Lord looked at Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Peter didn't see him come in the door. He didn't see him come in the door. Oh, he's very subtle. He's very subtle. He comes as an angel of light, a messenger. An angel of light means messenger. He comes as a messenger of light. He takes the Bible. He takes words of the Bible. He even takes gospel words. He takes gospel words and uses them. And you say, well, you know, he says some good things. Satan will say some good things. I tell you what, you want to read of somebody saying some good things? Go read what Balaam had to say. Go read some of the things he had to say. I mean, they were some good things. He's the one that said, let me die the death of the righteous. Do you want to die the death of the righteous? He said that. He said, let me die the death. But this man was in it for the money. And he used it. He used it for his own promotion and benefits. An angel of light, not that easy to detect. Now here's another reason why there'll always be someone to pervert the gospel. Tradition keepers. Boy, I tell you, that's strong. That's strong. This is the way this is the way my parents did it, this is the way my grandparents. I tell you, it's hard to break tradition. I mean, you got things in your family you do by tradition. You just don't want to change it. We always done it this way. Well, sometimes it's good to do it another way. tradition keepers. You can see it over in Mark. Look over in Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. I wanted us to see this in the scriptures this morning. I wanted to turn to these scriptures this morning. In Mark 7, you're there before I am. Mark 7, look in verses, let me see if I got it down right. Mark 7, 6 and 9. Yeah. In verse 6, he answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men. You hold the tradition of the elders. An elder, listen, a prominent elder has made a statement and said something and said, this is the way it ought to be. And you have literally set aside the word of God for what he had to say. And you hold what he said. You hold the tradition of men. As the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. And he said unto them, full well, you rejected the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. Don't think the tradition is not strong. For a lot of people, tradition is far stronger than the word of God. Far stronger. I'd much rather have the word of God and throw tradition out the door. And then others do it for fame and for a following, just like the Pharisees. That's what these televangelists do. It's all about fame and fortune. That's all it's about. And then listen here. Paul says here in verse 8 and 9 here, and I'll close. But though we, I didn't catch that until I read this again this week and looking at it. Paul saying, if I or Timothy or any other apostle, if we come to you and we change the message, let us go to hell. He included himself. If I come in, and I say, you know what? I do think we need to be circumcised. He said, don't you listen to me. Don't you listen to me. That's how serious this is. Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than that we have preached unto you, let him be accursed or perish or go to hell. And here's why. Here's why Paul's saying this. The gospel of God's glory is at stake. God's glory is at stake. It's called the glory of the gospel of God in 1 Timothy 1:11. It's called the gospel of his glory. It's his chief glory. The creation of heaven and earth is not God's chief glory. His chief glory is his redemptive glory. That's his chief glory, his redemptive glory. And then it's a severe statement because it concerns his son whom he loves. Don't you add anything to what my son has accomplished. When he said it's finished, it's finished. Don't you add anything to it. This is the gospel of my son, concerning my son. And then it's the only gospel that enables God to be just and justify us. Any other way, he can't do it. God can't be God. God can't be justifier if we add anything to the gospel. And then it's this. It's the truth. It's the truth. If you change it, it's a lie. God does not honor a lie. In fact, it says he hates lying lips. He hates liars. And our soul's at stake. Our soul's at stake. Paul says there's only one gospel. There's no other gospel. There's only one. That's how dogmatic we have to be about it. We can't even open a crack in a door for anything else. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. And that way is Jesus Christ alone. Grace alone, Christ alone, faith alone, and add anything to it, you ungospel it. You ungospel it. All right.